Welcome to the Not Old Better Show. I'm your host, Paul Vogelsang. As part of our Smithsonian Associates Partnership Program, our guest today, Dr. Eric Spana, is a professor of biology at Duke University.
I'm a professor that teaches genetics and developmental biology and molecular biology. So when I see science fiction and fantasy things, it's through that lens. I kind of like to look at the science fiction and fantasy because it's fun viewing. But then the scientist in me kind of has a problem with it. I like to take the more creative approach and to come up with how to make it actually true.
That, of course, is our guest today, Dr. Eric Spana, who will be appearing at the Smithsonian Associates Program Friday, June 16th, 2017, in Washington, D.C. at the Ripley Center. Dr. Spana will be presenting on the subject, Captain America's Super Soldier Serum, 1940s fantasy meets modern biotechnology. This is a special interview. The Not Old Better audience loves our science fiction. Plus, some of Marvel's characters are among my favorite, whether it's puny and frail Steve Rogers into Captain America, or Black Widow, or Hawkeye, or Iron Man, or Ant-Man, or Hulk. According to the stories, a combination of a chemical compound and Vita rays create our favorite hero. And Dr. Spana tells us how modern science might provide an alternative formula to explain the transformation. Importantly, I'd like to thank Mikhail Buro and his epic hero music, which we're using today in the show. But please join me in welcoming Dr. Eric Spana to the Not Old Better Show Smithsonian Associates Art of Living series.
For this talk, I'll be talking about Captain America and how to make a super soldier serum and how to generate Steve Rogers' big muscles out of the puny guy and how to have it happen with one injection and have it stay his whole life and give him other abilities. There's a fair amount of explaining I have to do to my peers to say, no, seriously, I'm not wasting people's time with Captain America. It's okay. It's okay that I know my Harry Potter like the back of my hand. It's okay.
Yeah. Well, no, I think it's a true advantage. This idea of merging science and science fiction along with the more real subjects that you teach is just fascinating to me. I know my audience will love this too.
Thanks. Well, thanks for having me, Paul. My name is Eric Spana. I'm a teaching faculty at Duke University in the biology department. And so my job is undergraduate education. And over the years, sometimes you get to have more fun conversations than just fruit fly eye colors and your generic science textbook things. And over the years, I've gotten into a few different fields of science and science fiction and looked at Star Wars and Harry Potter. And now this year, it's going to be some Captain America, because with some modern biotechnology, we're getting actually a little maybe too close to being able to create Captain America.
Well, it'll be an interesting topic, and I know that you will make it all the more interesting for us. You're a serious scientist. You mentioned fruit flies. In my research, I read all about your work with Drosophila and all of the rest of the more serious
science
you bring. Yeah.
Wait, you've read my papers?
I have to be honest with you. I did not read all of the papers. I found the word Drosophila. I actually know how to pronounce that word.
Yeah, thank you for that.
Yeah, that jumped right out at me. And then you mentioned fruit flies.
They don't teach that in AP biology. I just want to point out. They don't actually teach how to say Drosophila.
No.
So we get kids coming going, Drosophila? Oh.
But you really have blended these wonderful worlds of Marvel Comics. I'm a huge fan of those. And the wonders of science.
What I found over the years is that it's hard to make these. If you want to teach how Captain America might work, you have to have an entire class who knows who Captain America is. And as much as I can't believe that's not true, uh-huh. it Duke, it's not true. Huh. We recruits, our undergraduates come from such a wide background. They really have showed up saying things like, you know, I've never seen a Marvel movie. Why would I do that? And so I don't do it in class. And if we do, I end up doing having to do a huge amount of background to explain superheroes or things like that. This was actually a takeoff on another talk I gave. So what I'm discovering in science and I guess science fiction is people talk and they know each other. And so the Genetic Society of America sent an intern to talk with me about my Harry Potter genetics talk. Mm,
okay, so this is the Harry Potter science.
And this intern at the Genetic Society of America, her name is Sarah Bay, she was a huge Marvel nerd. And so our 20-minute interview turned into 2 hours of, well, what about Captain America? And how about the Hulk? Well, how about – and so we had so much fun. We put together a talk on Captain America for a science fiction fantasy convention called Dragon Con. And we gave that talk there last year. And I'm beefing up and giving you actually even some more new stuff to bring to the Smithsonian.
Well, my audience, of course, the 55-plus community, they will remember Lee Majors' Million Dollar Man. I don't know if that dates me or you.
Oh, I have a $6 million man action figure in my attic. Right.
Perfect.
Now.
So this idea of robotics, bionics, the bionic woman, this stuff is all in our kind of wheelhouse and sweet spot. But the kind of stuff you're talking about, particularly with this soldier serum, yeah, Captain America, this is way beyond that, right?
Right. It is. And yes and no. So I have a slide that has caveats at the beginning. And one of the caveats is things that work in science today at, you know, roughly a 5 to 10% level will be 100% in this case, right? And so, you know, we're at the point now where you can infect a mouse, not a person, but a mouse with a retrovirus and have very specific cells have their genome edited to produce a very specific outcome. And, you know, they're curing adult mice of muscular dystrophy with a single injection. And so that you could, you know, produce a genetic outcome of a person like that isn't outrageous. And it was in 1941. But today it's more of a, that's going to happen within the next 10 years. Hopefully not for cosmetic purposes, but, you know, for disease cure.
So the idea of kind of stretching of scientific truth, that's actually getting stretched less and less for entertainment purposes.
That's correct, right? The answers I'm using are things that legitimately work, and we're just, you know, increasing the yield, which, you know, the current yield is 10%. Well, the yield will probably be 20% next year. So that's not really inventing anything, but not really can't say we can make him today, but we're well on the way.
And so what's your own philosophy on the responsibility of filmmakers for accuracy versus artistic license? Where do you kind of draw that line? And
some things I can understand having to change things for poetic license, right? You know, the idea of, well, we're going to inject Steve Rogers with a serum and within a 3-minute video montage, he's going to have supersized muscles. That's probably better than 6 months of training, right? Like, okay, fine. You're just going to speed up things for storytelling purposes. But on the other hand, if there is a legit way to say it, you should. And so I think Marvel's actually not so bad at, I think they actually have some science community people that they reach out to identify what's the thing we can say here. This will be the right thing to say. Actually, I can kind of remember it in the Winter Soldier movie. where I'm not going to give any spoilers in case you haven't seen it, mm-hmm. but you know, they make some references to some from the way that Nick Fury is heart stopped. And that, I think, was actually pretty accurate. And so they could have made something up, but I think they went to the scientists on staff or available and said, is there a way to explain this in a real way? And got an answer. And so I'm okay with that. Like, I really enjoy that because it makes it – well, for me, it doesn't take me out of the story. It makes it feel real. Also, you know, I personally like it when they go and get set designers who have actually been to a science lab before, and they know that mostly if you're doing biology, it's clear liquids in boring shaped bottles and not like foaming, steaming, colored blue liquids and, you know, crazy science fiction-y things. But those don't necessarily look as good, but better science.
I know that, you know, in my research of you, Dr. Spana, you do a lot of work and you have a lot of focus on this idea of communication of science. How do you use your own research and your own scientific background for the rest of us, you know, the lay people, the muggles, yeah. the mudbloods, the neophyte, the non-geeky types?
How do I use – so occasionally I use – I've never used my own data. Darn it, as I think about that. All right, I need to come up with a good talk that uses my own data. But I've used friends' data when it was actually the best supporting evidence for how a mechanism could happen. So actually this is the example – but my favorite example was from – I gave a Harry Potter talk, Harry Potter genetics talk – at the Smithsonian Associates last summer. Mm-hmm. And I put up this premise and explained some things. The nice lady puts her hand up in the audience and she says this literally, are you making this up? And everybody's like giggling, everybody's laughing. And I looked, I'm like, no, like these genetic second sight suppressors happen all the time. You've never heard those words before. Right. Okay. And so it was that feedback that then led me to go back home and pull out, you know, my favorite second sight suppressor reference, which happens to be fruit flies from a friend's paper from when I was a postdoc. Right. And so, you know, I like using the primary research to help bring science to people. On the other hand, I have no illusions that people want to hear about fruit flies with funny wings because even my wife doesn't want to hear about fruit flies with funny wings. So to me, it's more interesting. I think it might actually be a better educational learning experience to help explain things for information people already have. You know, people are already familiar with Ron and Hermione and Harry. Mm-hmm. It's easier to put that story into scientific context than teach you a new scientific context. It's going to be easier to explain how muscle formation works in the context of Steve Rogers than a hypothetical example. So I think it's more fun, and audiences certainly are more interested in Avengers than fruit flies. So there's that. Mm-hmm.
But, and then what about some of the serious stuff that, you know, because I know you spend time surveying some of the big achievements that are taking place in biological science, the genome manipulation, the protein engineering, CRISPR, yeah. all of that stuff. So give us just a sense as to what you'll be talking about there. At Smithsonian on the 16th about some of those subjects.
Yeah. So, so if we're going to have to make Steve Rogers via the way it happened in the comics and almost exactly the same way in the movie, we're just going to have to be able to give him one shot into major muscle groups, and it's going to have to last his entire lifetime. And, with that comes a set of certain constraints and how things are going to work. And one of the easiest ways to do it is going to be knocking out a specific gene in muscle precursor cells to generate more, like twice as many muscles. The way you do that is retroviral insertions, and we're going to help make those retroviruses work a little better, and the CRISPR components spread a little further and all activate at the same time using some protein engineering and some optogenetics. And one of the other things I like about these programs is it gets me out of my comfort zone. So I'm a Drosophila geneticist. I do developmental biology. I don't read much muscle development papers. But to talk about this, I have to. And so it's actually a fun research for me to go and learn, you know, what are the new best practices for all these kinds of tools.
Because that is going to ultimately impact maybe Thor or Captain America or the Hulk.
Yeah. Boy, I'm having a tough time with Hulk. I got to tell you, you know, like how did grow to like 9 feet tall and be, and actually, you know, it's not so much the growing part because there's genes in us that, you know, are involved in growth. We all grew, but man, there's just not a lot of green, right? Like there's just not good genes in the human genome to make you green.
Green is one of those colors that is just not
human. That's just not part of us.
No.
Right. And so, you know, that's been a fun, that's as soon as I can have someone come up with me and go, I figured it out. Then I'll have a Hulk.
But. Well, I happen to know, Dr. Spana, that on the 17th, you're going to be at the 17th of June, you're going to be at Awesome Con.
Yes.
And so who's your favorite Marvel character? Because I'm sure there at Awesome Con, you're going to be talking about some of those guys, right?
You know, my favorite. Oh, that's varied so much in my lifetime. Oh, you know, years ago, I would have, like, when I was a 12-year-old with Avengers comics, it would have been Vision. But after watching these Marvel Cinematic Universe movies, boy, I'm going to go Black Widow.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, and she's not even super, right? She's just well-trained. Nothing, no magic science with her. But, yeah. So, I'll take that back. But then if I have to say with the current versions of Marvel Comics, it's Captain Marvel. Yeah. Carol Danvers. And that I'm still working my head through how to explain alien DNA giving you superpowers. Although the whole alien DNA thing is another tough subject.
Dr. Spana, I have to tell you, I would love to be in some faculty meetings there just to fly on the wall to hear you kind of kick some of these ideas about with your – how does that go?
So I have to say not faculty meetings, not in the slightest. On the other hand, I have a partner in crime in my department, and that's my chair, Muhammad Noor, who – we taught a class for spring break called Science and Science Fiction, and we met today, and I was giving him some edits on his Evolution in Star Trek book that he's writing. And then we came back and had a wide-ranging discussion on, you know, all the different science things that happened in that movie and how you could possibly explain them, and it was actually pretty good. And then we went to see King Kong, which... That was shooting fish in a barrel. That was some real weird things and things I had no idea that students just absolutely taught me. You know, if there's a squid in the river in King Kong. Turns out there's no such thing as freshwater cephalopods. I had no idea.
the beauty of computer-generated graphics.
That was it. You know, and I go, I've never thought about that, but, you know.
Well, we are with Dr. Eric Spana. Dr. Spana will be at the Smithsonian Associates June 16th, 2017 at the Ripley Center. Dr. Spana is going to be talking about Captain America's Super Soldier Serum, 1940s fantasy meets modern biotechnology. There is no biotechnology background necessary for this, Dr. Spana, so all comers are welcome.
All comers. We will start you off from an intro to biology course, and we will take you all the way up to, you know, you're ready to go work in the lab. Okay, no, you're not that far, but you'll kind of have a good idea of the kind of things happening in research labs today.
Dr. Eric Spana, thank you so much for your time. I'm looking forward to seeing you on the 16th at the Ripley Center. Well, what a pleasure it's been to talk to you. This is just a fascinating subject, and absolutely, there's real-world applicability here, but you can't miss Captain America. I mean, that's what really draws us.
Steve, that's the house set in our house. Steve,
daughters, huh? Daughters.
No, that's the wife. Are you kidding?
Oh, okay.
But yeah, thanks for having me. This has been lots of fun. I'm super excited to come back and do it again.
Well, we're excited to see you and hear you, and we're looking forward to it. Thanks so much, Dr. Spana.
Thanks a lot.